This is part two of the series of messages that I've entitled, It Is Written. And the phrase, it is written, occurs 64 times in Scripture. 61 of those times is in the New Testament. But why? Why is there such a disproportionate number of it is written phrases in the New Testament? Because they were referring to the Old Testament. Because they were speaking about the word that they had till that time. They were talking about the written word of Almighty God as it was in existence at that time. Christ Jesus used that expression at least 12 times. That's what we have recorded. And this is the phrase that he used to convey authority over Satan. He used, it is written. When Satan tempted him, Jesus said, it is written. And that gives us a clue. Last week I told you all about my friend the lawyer and I sitting in his car, and I was talking about God, and he said I was too smart to believe in God, and I said you're too smart not to, and he said something, and I said, well, it's written in some passage of Scripture, Matthew or something. And he said, it is written, it is written. And he became indignant that I would refer to the Bible as if it were an authority. And I knew right then I had a clue. I had a clue about something because I remember Jesus telling the devil it was written. And I got to thinking about that. I've done a lot of messages on it is written. I have never done a series of messages on it. And typically in my messages, I will say it is written whenever I quote Scripture. Or I'll say in the passage of whatever it is, we will hear what's written. And so I thought this would be a perfect time to do an entire series on that phrase. It is written. And when we think about Jesus resisting temptation, remember, he was in the flesh just as we are. He was a man just as we are. And he resisted temptation. And this set of messages will equip everyone who hears them to resist the devil, to resist and overcome temptation like Christ. We are called to be like Christ. We are called to be Christ-like. We're going to learn several important ideas from this message. Our Lord was tempted just as we are. And so we will be. No one's immune to temptation. Temptation comes to all of us. He sympathizes with us on this level because he, like us, was tempted. And secondly, we will be tempted through our eyes, and through our flesh, and through pride. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the three categories that all temptation is filtered through. One of those three, if you whittle it down all the way to its base component, that's where it is. And there's a third point, that angels are ministering spirits, they're sent forth. Sent forth from Almighty God to minister for those who will inherit salvation. That's what's written in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. It is written. After Jesus withstood Satan, angels ministered to him. Fourth, we're going to learn that the tempter returns at favorable times for him to tempt again. Just because you've given up a sin, let's say, you've completely sworn it off, you're not going to do it again, the tempter's going to come back. When it's good for him, he thinks. But you have to also remember that the Holy Ghost strengthens us every time we resist. Every time we resist temptation, we get stronger against it. And this is a call to worship for the church today. We must resist temptation. Because every time we give in to that temptation, we're opening the door to Satan. And fifth, we may not say that we are tempted by God to sin. And why do I say that? Because it is written. We are drawn away by our own desires and enticed. That's what's written. The main thrust of this series of messages is that we are able to resist the devil just like Christ. When we are in Christ, we are empowered by Christ to overcome temptation. And we use the word of Almighty God just like Christ and resist temptation. We're going to begin by reading the record of Jesus' temptation. If you will, you can open your Bibles to the fourth chapter of Matthew's gospel record. You'll find that on page 650 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 1. And we will read through verse 11. Page 650 in the Pew Bible, Matthew chapter 4. Verses 1 through 11. But before we read the word, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would take a hold of me today. Lord, let the people hear not me, but you. Father, open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see. Give me unction to speak, Father, that I can speak with fluency, that you can give me the ability, Lord, to bring forth your message that I believe you've helped me to prepare in these notes that I have before me. May I be your servant and your servant alone. I know that you've bought and paid for our souls, Father. We belong to you. We do not belong to the evil one. And so, Father God, I ask that you would empower each one in the hearing of your word to recognize that we are free from Satan. We do not have to give in, that we can walk in that freedom. We can have that victory. And we pray this all in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This was after his baptism. He had stepped into the water of baptism. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." Now listen, the devil is quoting Scripture. Do you think for a minute that Satan himself does not know the Word of God? Well, listen here and you'll learn. "It is written," the devil said, "if you're the Son of God, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word, and I trust that he will. It is written. It is written. In Mark's gospel record, chapter 1, verse 13, we learn that Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. That's how Mark puts it. In Luke's gospel record, chapter 4, we hear, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." It's written in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, in case you think you're alone in your temptation. "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." It's written in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus showed that it was possible to resist temptation. It's written, "No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man." But then it goes on to say, "God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." What? God is faithful. No temptation has overtaken me except as is common. Oh, so if I get tempted, I could actually tell the devil, this is the same temptation you throw on everybody. But God is faithful. He's not going to allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to endure. He's not going to allow me to be tempted beyond what I can handle. He's not going to allow me to be tempted beyond my ability to say no. I can bear this temptation. I can break this hold on me. I can break the chains through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have been delivered from sin. I have been delivered from evil. And you can call out and you can call him on the carpet with that. Because it is written, you have been freed. You once were in darkness, but now you're in light. You once were walking in sin, but now you are no longer a partaker in it. And you can tell him that. You can resist. You can break the chains of hell that have held on to you. You're not alone. Consider what's written in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're not alone. The temptation that you face is no different than anybody else. It's either the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or it's the pride of life. The three things that knocked Adam down. We're instructed in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 to not give the devil any space to work in our lives. Neither give place to the devil. You don't give him any place. You don't give him any opportunity. You don't give him a chance. You don't walk into that place where it's full of sin and say, I'm good. You're tempting the Lord your God. You may not walk in darkness and expect to be the light that draws the darkness out of the darkness. You must step with Christ as your leader. It is written. And that passage of Scripture in Ephesians 4:27, it says, don't give any place to the devil to work. It implies that we have the power to stop him by excluding him. Away with you, Satan. This is what Jesus said. Away with you. I don't tell him to get behind me. I tell him to get away from me. I'm covered with Christ. I'm not sending the devil behind me where he can stab me in my back. Away from me. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's written, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. The darkness of this age we wrestle against, and that is a spiritual force. He's not talking about the people. He's not talking about the flesh and blood. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It doesn't say some. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It is written. Know the power of God's word. It is written. It is settled. It is finished. It is done. You have the power. You have the victory. You are the winner. You're not the loser. You are not the one who gives into temptation. You have the ability to say no. You can chase the devil away. All of this world tells us the devil is stronger than us, and that's a lie. It's a lie straight out of hell, and it comes out of Hollywood. There's a newspaper article, horror film, Save Hollywood's Bottom Line. People are devouring that garbage and they're turning God's word into lies. The devil does not have power over God's people. The devil does not have power over God's church. God's church prevails. His church, built on Him, will prevail over the gates of hell. That's what He says. And we can call upon God's word, and we can chase the devil away. We have that power in Christ. We are not defeated. We are victors in Christ. It's written that angels came and ministered to Jesus after the devil fled. Angels there means messengers. Ministered to means tended or attended to Him. God's messengers attended to Jesus when He was tempted. They didn't let Him just lay there in the suffering that He had from the temptation. Do you think for a moment that you're alone? It's because you've been lied to. You are not alone. God is with you. It's written, bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength. Do you ever hear any of the accounts in the scriptures of the angels? Are they wimpy little beings flying around like babies with wings? That's a lie. They excel in strength. They do His word. They heed the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Do they do their own pleasure? No. They please the Lord. That's what they're here for. The word angel means messenger of God. Angels are mighty. They're Almighty God's ministers. And they do what pleases Him. Remember when we studied about the three Hebrew boys that went into the fire because they wouldn't bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. And after they were saved from the fire, Nebuchadnezzar, it's written, said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not worship any god except their own God. And this is the key. When we resist temptation, we are not worshiping any other god. Because very often, people get caught up in things and it becomes an idol to them. It becomes their god. And they worship it. And they bow down before it every day. And God says, thou shalt not have any other gods before Me. Those boys were tempted. Their lives were threatened. You don't bow down before Me, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Stoke the fire up, boys, 7 times hotter. Woof, woof, woof. And the men that threw them in the fire died throwing them in. You think them boys weren't tempted? Oh, yes, they were. They were tempted in every way, as any of us would be. But even as they were tempted, even as that temptation came to them and they were tempted, they overcame that temptation by their faith in Almighty God. And God sent His ministering messenger to them in the fire. We see that as a picture of Christ coming to rescue those boys. Just like He'll come to us. And sometimes we don't see Him. It's written that Jesus said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of My Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus went on to teach the parable of the lost sheep. He said, these little ones, don't mess with them. Because their angels are standing right before God. And these little ones He's talking about are the lost. The people who are lost in sin. Jesus said the lost ones have angels in God's presence. It's written in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10 that Daniel saw millions of angels ministering to the Father as He opened the books to judge at the end. Just as we saw angels ministering to Christ Himself after He endured the temptation. And it's written that they minister to those who will inherit salvation as they endure and overcome temptation. Do you want strength? Do you want comfort? Resist the devil, and he will flee. He must. It is written. It's written in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You see, that shows us the devil will go away, but he might just come back when you're a little weaker. The devil left after Jesus fully resisted him. Let that sink in. Jesus resisted the devil, and the devil left, but he planned to come back. And don't be just dancing in victory thinking you can tempt God by walking in sin, because the devil comes back at those opportune times. And that proves what's written in James chapter 4, verse 7. Resisting temptation is a conscious act of submitting to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Submitting to Almighty God, choosing God over the enemy, it's an act of worship. And that pleases our Heavenly Father. Think about it, folks. When we resist temptation, we're pleasing God. It's an act of worship to God. We have no other gods before us. Another thing that's revealed in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13 is, as I said, the devil planned to come back. He wasn't going to just stay away. No, no, no. He planned to come back. And I got to thinking about that. What would be an opportune time for him to come back to Jesus with temptation? What time would he think would be right to bring temptation? His goal was to get Jesus to sin, just like his goal was to get us to sin. So what time, what would be the opportune time for Satan to come and tempt Jesus? I mean, thanks to God, Jesus never gave in to his temptation. But might it have been when one of his guys betrayed him? You ever think about that? I mean, this was a guy that was close to him. 3.5 years. The guy turned him in for a few pieces of silver. Or maybe it was when that guy denied him. I don't know him. Might the devil have been there? Look, your guys don't even... look at this Peter, your head guy. He's not even... Or might it have been when most of his followers ran away and hid? Look at those cowards. They're not going to stand for you. Bow down before me and I'll get you off this cross, huh? How about when he was being beaten and scourged and crowned with thorns? Might the devil have been there? Might that have been an opportune time for him to tempt Jesus? How about when they were driving those rusty nails through his body? Did the tempter find opportunity when he was being spit upon and jeered at? He hung on that old battered death instrument that had the blood of others who had died on it. And his blood was being shed, what little was left. Do you think maybe the devil might have been there whispering in his ear? I would be willing to say that was the opportune time. How about when one of those thieves blasphemed him as they were dying alongside of him? Save yourself! You saved others! Get yourself down! Save us too! How about when his spirit was leaving his body? Might the devil have whispered one last time? Maybe it was each of these stages of his death that the devil offered him a way out, but our Lord just said no. He submitted to God the Father, and he resisted the devil. And so can you. You have that power. You have it. It's yours. We may never say when we're tempted that we're tempted by God to sin. God, it's written in James 1 and verse 13, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. And when we're saying God can't be tempted by evil, remember our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God's not going to tempt us out of that relationship. It's written, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Whatever those desires are. And it really does come down to three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what we're enticed by. That's what we're drawn away by. Jesus had desires like any man, and after fasting those 40 days, he was hungry. And anybody who's ever fasted knows what it's like to be hungry after fasting. You get on a long fast and your mind starts working against you. You hear the devil, you're going to die if you don't eat. You can't live without food. Well, I'm here to tell you you can. But that's not the point of this message. When the tempter told him to turn stones into bread, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." It's God's Word that we thrive on. It's God's Word that protects us. It is God's Word that enables us and empowers us to overcome temptation. He didn't give in to the lust of the flesh. He averted his attention away from temptation by quoting Scripture. And I would suggest to you that whenever those religious leaders brought that woman that was caught in adultery, undoubtedly she was not fully clothed. And Jesus averted his attention and he wrote in the sand. He would not give in to the temptation, because you know the temptation there was not just to trick him into something. They were trying to get him to sin with his eyes. He didn't give in to the lust of the flesh. And that is the key to resisting the devil in every situation. God's Word. Satan used Scripture when he tempted Jesus to throw himself down because the angels would protect him. And Jesus rebutted, threw Scripture right back at him. Like a hardball. Dead center. Strike! You're out! Truth be told. Jesus said, "It's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." He was quoting Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. He could have proudly proclaimed his authority. "That's right. I have authority over the angels. I can call the angels down. They'll protect me." Could have. But instead, he resisted that temptation with Scripture. And then the devil tempted him to bow down before him. And there's many today, we don't call it that kind of bowing down in idolatry, but let me tell you, the people that are stuck in addiction, that's what they're doing. They're bowing down to their addiction. They've turned it into an idol, and they need to release it. They need to be released from it. They need to be freed from it. Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." He was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. Jesus resisted the temptation by throwing Scripture at Satan, and so should we. "It is written, you shall have no other gods before Almighty God." This is a great and underused tool of the church today. There's a famine for the Word of God across this land. Scripture is the most powerful way to resist the devil. It is written, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And you'll hear this passage repeated throughout this series, folks. I'm going to drum it into you. I want you to get that stuck so that every time you're tempted, you can say, "I will submit to God. I will resist the devil, and he will flee from me, will flee from me, will flee from me." It's simple, but yet it's so profound. It's just three simple concepts. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And I want you to say that with me. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Drum it into yourself. Say it every day. Say it every day. Wake up with that on your lips. Speak out, "Oh God, I will submit to you today. I will resist the devil today, and I know he will flee." And he will come back at an opportune time. And it might be 10 minutes later. But submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Remember this, folks. Remember it. Praise the Lord. Whoever told us that the devil is more powerful than us is a liar. Let's see. What's the word? So who's the liar? The devil's a liar. That's right. He's the father of lies, right? Yeah. Yeah, and What is it that Hollywood tells us? The devil is more powerful. And the only way that that could possibly be correct is if Christ is not in you. Because in the Apostle John's teaching on false teachers, it's written, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He who is in you, you the believer, you the follower, you the disciple, you the one who has accepted Christ, you who understands Christ as the Son of God, you who the one is born again, you who have been transformed by the renewing of your mind, you are the one, you have the power because Christ in you is stronger than him who's in the world. That's the truth of God's word. It's written, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And by this, it's written, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. You think you're alone? Do you think you're alone when you give into that temptation? Think again. You are not alone. If you're blood-bought and paid for, you are not alone. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Many false teachers have come. And in fact, many more will. It's written. But the Spirit in us enables us to resist temptation and resist lies and resist false teaching. If you doubt this, just hear what's written. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. There are consequences for sin. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? You. Individually, and we corporately are the temple of the holy, living, almighty God. And I can't explain that to you in any kind of term, scientific or otherwise, that would help you understand it, except to tell you it is written. It is written. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27, it is written, speaking, God will put my Spirit within you and help you to walk in my statutes. No. Aid you. No. Assist you. No. Cause you. Make you to walk in my statutes. And you could. No. You might. No. It'd be possible. No. You will keep my judgments and do them. This is God speaking. Now, either God's word is true or what? Throw it out the window. Put it in the fire. It's worth nothing. If God's word is true and God says he will put his Spirit in us, and in the New Testament period we hear that the Spirit of God dwells in us and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then he says you will be caused to walk in my statutes. You will be led by the Spirit. You will be empowered by the Spirit. You will be enabled by the Spirit to overcome temptation. That's what his word says. And you will keep God's judgments and do them. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, it's written, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. In other words, whoever keeps God's commandments abides in God, and God in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Don't think for a moment that you're alone when you're often sinning. You may not blame God, because he's given you the ability to overcome that temptation. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Not might, not could. You shall be saved. But be warned. The whole word of God makes it clear you may not continue sinning. You were once lost, but now you've been found. You were in darkness, but now you're in light. The scripture gives long lists of sins that you used to do, but now you don't do because you're in Christ. You couldn't see, but now He's taken your blind eyes and opened them. You have the power by the Holy Ghost of Almighty God to submit to God and resist the devil just as Jesus did. And he will flee. As I wrap this up, I'll remind you that it's written it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's what Jesus said. It was necessary for the Christ to suffer. It was necessary for the Christ to rise from the dead on the third day. It was necessary that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations. It was necessary. There's no place in Scripture that says, say a little prayer and you're saved now and forever. There is no place in Scripture. What it says is, you are saved unto repentance. You don't live in your sin. You walk away from it. You have the power to say no. You have the power to submit to God by your own will. You have the power to resist the devil, and he will flee. Jesus also said, they will all be taught by God. And therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. That's found in John chapter 6 and verse 45. Did you get in this message today that it was written by God? Remember, it's written, no temptation has overtaken you, or 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 you. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to everybody, to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to endure, but with the temptation will make a way out that you'll be able to bear it. And I have to ask again, is God's word true? Let God's word be true and every man a liar. So speak Scripture to the temptation. Whenever you're tempted, speak Scripture to the temptation. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Just like Christ that you proclaim to be. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is written, Lord. We thank you that we can stand upon your word, the foundation, the living word, the written word. Father God, we know that you have put it down. Every bit of it is for our edification. It is for strengthening us. It's enabling us. You've commanded us to be strong and of good courage. You've commanded us to not be afraid nor dismayed. We know that you are with us wherever we go. God, help us to remember. Seal it, Lord. Sear it into our minds that we are to submit to you and you alone, that we are to resist the devil and that he will flee. And I pray in Christ's name, Lord, that you would pour your Spirit upon this room, that everybody in this room and all who are hearing my voice by any recorded means, Father God, I ask that you would take them and use each and every one by the power of your Spirit to submit to you, resist the devil, and know that he will flee. I pray, Father, that we would all continue in your word, using your word to resist. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And now we're going to open our hymnals to number 18. Number 18. Now thank we all our God. There's three verses. Number 18. And if you can stand, please stand.
This is Maddie. I want you to visit with us next weekend.